Today, I am joined by a guitarist, singer, and songwriter who is a pioneer of the Americana music movement. He was a founding member of the group that you've probably heard of if you are a longtime music fan, Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen, who were known for their cover of Hot Rod Lincoln, on which this titan of the Telecaster's guitar skills were widely heard. He recently united with a non-Texan, ironically named Austin DeLone, who is a originator of the British pub rock sound. His roots lie outside of Texas, but he moved to Austin in 2011, which is, I believe, where we find him today. It is my pleasure to welcome the notably Texan, Bill Kirchen. Bill, how are you today, my friend?
Matt, I am just fine.
Do we find you in Austin today?
Yes, I'm in Austin, Texas. I'm about to leave for the Northeast tomorrow morning, but I'm still in Austin right now.
And you've been in several bands over the years, but you're perhaps best known for your work with Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, and that band was known for kind of putting on some marathon length shows, not unlike bands that you guys would open for, like the Grateful Dead.
Right, we would play a long time. There was eight of us on stage, so you know, it's kind of like a soccer team.
Yeah,
of course we had to play the whole. We had to play the whole, whatever it was.
That's
yeah,
true.
It was great. It was an exciting band. We played Texas a lot and all over the country and internationally. And I certainly probably had more fun than I deserved back there in the early 70s.
Well, you know, the fact, I guess some people would say the fact that you can remember anything from that era is pretty good, because, I mean, I can only imagine that maybe you can't even tell some of the tales about being on, you know, sharing a stage with folks like the Grateful Dead. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did quite a number of Dead shows, being both living in the Bay Area and the Starship and the Airplane.
Nice.
Bands like that. But it was good. And we were, I think, in hindsight, we were kind of one of the original Americana bands, because what we were doing then would surely be called Americana. Now, all our roots rock and roll, but we had a bunch of Western swing and boogie-woogie in there, too. So it was varied, a varied enough palette to keep our interest and hopefully other people's.
And that's fantastic. You know, a lot of people don't know where the roots of Americana really came from, and you and your band definitely had a lot to do with that.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's got eight cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With a four-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, with four different gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars was shining bright. We was driving up Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they was standing still.
Bill, I know you've moved all around since growing up in Michigan, but what made you eventually decide to move down here to Texas?
Honestly, it was family reasons, but family reasons that made it okay, because I have a long history here from coming back and playing, you know, places like the Armadillo World Headquarters in the early 70s and the concert rooms around here. So several years ago, we came down to take care of my father-in-law, and we spent some time doing the end game with him and then went back to Maryland briefly. But our daughter had joined us and stayed and started a family. So about 4 years ago, we said, come on, let's go. We love Texas. We love Austin. Let's just head down there. So we did, and I'm not sorry I did. It's proved to be a very, very exciting place to live. A wonderful musical community here. I was just talking to Jimmy Dale Gilmore this morning.
Oh, nice.
Talking about doing something with him. And, oh, you know, just so many great musicians in town.
No kidding. Yeah, I mean, that is...
And in the state, not just in town, all over the place.
No, that's a very good point, and that's really interesting to hear. I've lived in Texas all my life, and I know that we treasure our music and our musicians here, but it's really interesting to kind of hear that from an outsider's perspective, coming down here and just kind of being, you know, surrounded by so much talent. Just everywhere you turn, there's somebody who's in a band or wants to be in a band, I guess.
Yeah, and it's a rich history between the blues and, you know, the West Texas border swamp pop and the Lightnin' Hopkins and Gabe Brown and all the great country music and Bob Wills. Just a tremendous history of some of my favorite music came out of this area of the country. So it's exciting to be, hope to be a part of it, you know.
Well, we're lucky to have you here, Bill Kirchen.
I got a bucket of hits. I wrote them myself. They're all about love and danger. Don't want to brag, but look out, hey, here comes another stranger.
Tell me a little bit about the gentleman that you've reunited with, this guy named Austin DeLone. Am I saying that name right, by the way?
Yes, you are.
Okay, because he's got a rich history in music as well, but not everybody may be familiar with him.
Yeah, he's been less in the public eye, but, I mean, he most recently he's played with Clarence Clemons, and he was in the Fabulous Thunderbirds for a while.
Oh, nice.
His story starts back in the late 60s and early 70s when he went to England and was managed by Chas Chandler, who was from the Animals, but also famously managed Jimi Hendrix. And they had a band called Eggs Over Easy of Americans, three Americans, in London, who are credited with starting the whole British pub rock scene, which was people like Nick Lowe and Elvis Costello, came out of, and which also begat the punk rock and
that's right
things that followed. So I've known him for a long time. I met him in California. I actually saw him when I first got to California and realized that that's the guy I'd seen much later. I was describing a show to him I'd seen, and he goes, yep, that was me. So we become friends, and we started working together way back in the late 70s and went to England and made a record with Nick Lowe in a band called the Moonlighters. And
wow.
So this is good. It's good to come and just do a record with he and I being the alternating, you know, being the front man on it. It's been very good. It's been working well on radio, too.
That's great, and that's kind of a cool way to do it, because usually, you know, there's just one front man, as it were, and maybe everybody else might be kind of back there going, oh man, it should be my turn up there. So you get to kind of switch out duties on this, and everybody gets to stay happy.
Exactly, and it's called Transatlanticana or Transatlanticana. I still haven't decided how to pronounce
it. Oh, okay.
We recorded half of it in Texas and half of it in London, England. So Transatlanticana is how I say it. But
very good.
It kind of references Americana. It could be Transatlanticana, too.
Right. This was cut in both Austin and London, as I understand it, which kind of helped to create this unique sound. So how did that work?
Well, I started it here in Austin with my Texas band, and then we continued it. We took a trip over to London and continued it over there. Then we came back and finished up stuff here. And I had been putting out, I was living in Texas, but the prior three records were on proper. And I had recorded all of them in a studio in London. So we already had a rich history with that studio and the musicians there. And actually the drummer in England is also the executive of proper records, so that's kind of an unusual thing when you get to record and tour with your record executives.
That is unusual, isn't it?
It is, really is. I don't remember ever hearing anything like that, so that's been great.
That's pretty amazing, and of course technology has made it to where these sorts of things can happen, you know, remotely. People can collaborate on music projects without even being in the same
room. That's
true. And do it across oceans. So it's amazing what you can do now that you couldn't have even dreamed of back in the Hot Rod Lincoln days.
That's exactly right. And we were pretty much all in the studio together recording, although we did some of that where we took some of the tracks back to the States and finished some stuff up. So we did take advantage of that technology, exactly.
Like I've mentioned, I have been playing cuts from this album here since I got it in this year, but I wanted to play an example of what folks can find on this new Bill Kirchen and Austin DeLone collaboration. I picked out this tune, No Need for Knocking. What can you tell me about this one?
Austin and I wrote that specifically for the record, and we had kind of a sort of a Fats Domino vibe in mind, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of a music from the corner of Texas and Louisiana that has been so rich, such a rich ground for music. So that's kind of what we had in mind, and we just wanted to write something. The whole tone of this is pretty upbeat. It isn't very, we don't have too much dire, angst-ridden ballad. So this was just something was trying to be encouraging, something, words of encouragement to someone set to a Fats Domino-y thing.
Nice.
Audie's a wonderful piano player, so it really features this piano player. Oh, yeah, and I think I whistle on it a la Professor Longhair. Right?
Yeah, as that's you whistling. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Have to say that whistling is one of those unsung talents. You know, there have been some incredible whistlers over the years. Was it Toots Thielemann? Was he the guy I think that was kind of famously did the whistle for the Old Spice commercial?
Now, maybe you're right. I never knew. That's a great piece of trivia. I know who Toots Thielemann is. I know he played harmonica, but I think I have somewhere heard that, and that's fantastic that you would know that, Matt. You're going on to the finals.
Okay, good. B- Bill, you've got some outstanding talent backing you on the album, including a few notable Texans like Gerf Morlix and Butch Hancock. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. That was so great to get to work with them. Butch wrote that song, Oxblood, that's on there, and I just loved it. And but I enjoyed hearing him sing it so much, I didn't want to hog it. So we got him into the studio, and that's actually Gerf playing the guitar solo on there. Playing the baritone guitar. Yeah, Gerf knows his way around the studio. He was live, but I mean, he's got a great track record as a producer with Barry Gosher and Lucinda Williams and a lot of people. And so that was wonderful to have him here. I just did a gig with Gerf not a week ago here in Austin.
Really?
So that was great. Yep.
He's somebody that is on so many of these records that that many people don't know that that very unique name that he has. But sometimes I'll drop that name and people are like, "Who? Who on earth is that?" You know. But it's such right. such an unusual name as well. But he is he definitely has his hands on a lot of projects that I've played here on the show over the years.
Yeah, and Butch as well. Butch is a guy that may not be a household word as much as say Joe Ely, his bandmate in the Flatlanders, is.
Yes.
But I think Butch is one of the very wonderful songwriters in the world today. I think he's just as good as anybody out there. So,
well, you definitely recruited some good help on the record. There's no doubt about that.
Everybody, let's rock in the morning, gold in the evening, and all night through. Hey, now, Mom, you know you just made me want to do everything that you want to do. Let's do it to it, baby.
You are set to embark on a holiday tour, right? What's this going to entail? This is going to take you all over the place.
Well, we call it our Honky Tonk Holiday Tour, and it's the band, and we go around. We're starting in the Northeast and work our way down the Mid-Atlantic to the lots of gigs in the New York and New England area, and then we finish up in the Midwest. And what we do is we do a lot of honky tonk holiday songs. Some of them of questionable taste, I must say, and. Nothing too raunchy, but
yeah.
You know, a bunch of old country stuff like Reindeer Boogie by Hank Snow and Santa Looks a Lot Like Daddy by Buck Owens. And we do the great Sir Mac Rice song that Albert King did, Santa Claus Wants Some Lovin'.
I know Christmas is for the children. I sure want them to be pleased. But right now, Mama, it's Christmas Eve, so make your pappy happy. Santa Claus wants some loving. Got to have it right now.
Nice.
And some stuff we wrote, one of extremely questionable taste that we put out as a single with Commander Cody in the early 70s called Daddy's Drinking Up Our Christmas. We'll break that out.
Wow.
With the kids in the audience, we don't do it. It's a good-hearted, good cheer song. We bring lights in and string them up. We spend as much time lighting the stage and tearing it down at the end of the night as we do playing every night. So,
wow. A lot goes into this.
It's a lot of fun. We love it. And I've yet to bring it to Texas, so that's our plan next year, to try to bring it to Texas. So maybe I'll see you in the glow of the blue Christmas lights.
Excellent. Yeah, I was going to ask, where can folks find out more about you and your tour stops?
BillKirchen.com, BillKirchen.com. Also, I'm on Facebook. I'm always promoting shows there.
Sure.
One of those two spots. And our record company here, the wonderful Red House Records out of Minneapolis, has a website that's featuring us. They have, as a matter of fact, a wonderful Christmas sampler with Santa Claus Wants Some Lovin' on it. Venerable singer-songwriter label that lately has branched out into more honky-tonk and stuff with Dale Watson and Jorma Kalkinen.
Right.
David Bromberg. So that's just a great label. I'm thrilled to be working with them.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to talk to folks like Dale Watson and others on that label, so they've been very helpful here as well.
She let me down too many times. I think I've had enough. Come on, wine, do your stuff.
You may have heard me mention here that we're a listener-supported radio station, so we're a public station, basically. And I imagine that through your years of being an artist out there pushing your music, that you have had some experience and some dealings with the public radio stations around the nation. We've been serving Northeast Texas here commercial-free for going on 42 years, and we're really proud of that. It's basically, this station's been around about as long as I have, so it's one of these things where we're really fortunate to have this in Northeast Texas. It's primarily kind of a rural area here, so you know we're outside of the DFW area where they do have a public station. But you know, when you start to get out here into these other parts of Texas where there's not a lot of radio choices, it's great to have a public radio station. So I always like to ask my guests for any comments they might have about you know, your feelings on public radio and why you think it's worth people supporting with their dollars.
Well, I think it's hugely important because it's one of the last sources of news and information and entertainment that isn't completely under lockdown by corporate interests or specific, you know, it's the voice, and so that's where I live. I was on the bottom end of the dial when I tune on the radio. And this goes back with us. I've done benefits for, I remember we did a benefit for, I guess it was KPFT, one of the KPFA chains after they'd been firebombed by the Klan
in the
70s.
And, yes.
And then KPFA in Berkeley, and it's been very important to me both as a listener and as a place where people could hear my music when I wasn't in any way dovetailing with whatever the commercial radio of the day may have been, say, in the 80s. So I'm a big fan of you guys, and that you're who I go to for my information that I can trust, and I really appreciate it. I'm not saying this because, you know, this is from the heart. That's where I go on the radio right there. And it's extremely important to me on so many levels, as I mentioned. So thank you. My hat's off to you all the way off. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your comments on that.
Listen, I consider that you guys are fighting the good fight. That's the way I look at it.
So. Absolutely. That's the way we view it, too.
Keep the faith. Good.
Come on.
Really, thank you for finding some time to speak with Notably Texan here this afternoon. I did want to play you out with one more song before you go. I wanted to get your comments on you and Austin's rendition of "The Times They Are Changing." And needless to say, you're both fans of the songwriter here.
Well, I was hoping you were going to pick that. I was going to say if I get a chance to select one, that's what I'm going to pick.
Oh, good.
You did. If you read my mind, or I read your mind. But I'm a big Dylan fan, and. He played my high school in the 60s solo, and then I saw him at the Newport Folk Festival in 64. I came back the next year in 1965 and saw him go electric. I was just out of high school, just graduated from high school, 16-year-old kid sitting out there.
Wow.
And I've always been a fan, especially of those first, of that era, the first 10 albums, say. I wanted this to be anthemic, you know. I love that song, and they say it's a mark of a good song. It'll stand up to rough treatment. So we just tried to give it all we had for this rendition. We tried to pour it on, and so this is the most rocking cut on the record, I would say.
Excellent.
And the most rock and roll. So, thank you for picking that, and it can mean a lot of different things in a lot of different times. And I actually wrote it and was very excited about it when I was singing it in the run-up to Obama's election.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it meant to me then. And that's when I came up with that arrangement all those 8 years ago. So, you know, it means different things at different times.
But right.
It's a great song, and I think our latest Nobel Prize winning poet wrote the words.
Exactly. Well, thanks for your words, and thanks for your time, Bill Kirchen. This has really been a treat. So let's play you out here with "The Times They Are Changing," and enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Thank you so much for spending some time here on the show.
Matt, thanks very much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. This has been very, very, very nice. Thank you.
Bill Kirchen and Austin DeLone album Transatlanticana is available now on Red House Records. And you can find out more about Bill at his website, BillKirchen.com. That's K-I-R-C-H-E-N. I want to thank Bill Kirchen for spending time with us here on the program. And special thanks to Beth at Red House Records for lining up this interview. I'm your producer and host, Matt Menke. Thanks for listening to Notably Texan.